In school, just in front of me, when I look at the wall, I have a sign which says, "You are in school." Well, this morning we had a little talk from her for the 15, 16 minutes, and it really reminded me that I am in school. Although it didn't always appear like this during my 15, 16 years I'm here, that it was a school I'm in to learn. Now, yesterday I received an email from our student Monica Egli, and she was speaking about her two children. I guess they're about 9 and 12 years old, and she was speaking about how they have changed school teacher and how wonderful it is to go to school, so the kids say. They love both school. And I was thinking, well, isn't that beautiful to love school, and how important it is really to like your school and to love what you're doing in school. And kids like Monica's kids, who have been in seminars of the University of Healing, have shown a discipline and an interest in the philosophy that they like school, it's not amazing to me. Because these two kids have something really basic, and that is they like themselves. And liking themselves is what we are learning in school here at our mystical school, at our school at the University of Healing, or call it the Absolute Monastery. I say mystical school. What are we learning here at the Absolute Monastery at the University of Healing? Well, the University of Healing gives the courses and teaches what it is all about. And at the Absolute Monastery, I'm practicing what I have learned, or I should have learned, during my 3 years of study, doing the undergraduate, the graduate, and the postgraduate courses, and finishing with the Doctor of Philosophy, or today Doctor of Metaphysics. We have students all over the world. Some students come to school by just taking the correspondence courses. Some and do it diligently, do all the courses. Other students, they just perhaps give a call from here and there to the university, speak with the practitioner, and put into motion what they hear on the phone, without even taking the course. And it's really not depending how I'm doing my school. It's how much I put into my school, how much discipline I put into my thoughts, in my words, in my action. Now, this young lady who from time to time calls from Florida, her name is Marjorie. She is just a miracle lady. It's just a joy to talk to her, and I could imagine that any teacher, anyone who has a student like this and sees results like this, has fun being a teacher. Having students responding in such a wonderful way, it gives me just a kick too, being a teacher, being a student, being both at the same time. Gives me the opportunity to see what it means to be a good student, but also to be a good teacher. Because when I have good students, and that is, I would say, the response of somebody like Marjorie, I'm speaking at the phone as a teacher, in quote. I'm speaking of quote now. So I can say, hey, I have done my job as a teacher, because the student is responding so beautifully. Well, when she was saying yesterday, you know, my daughter, her dream has been fulfilled. We treated together that he could go to Spain and find a proper school and a proper family to live. Well, she is now in Spain. And when it was time that they were given the rooms and the families, she was supposed to be with another girl sharing room. And in the last minute, for whatever reason, it changed. And so that my daughter now has a room for herself in a most wonderful family where three young girls, one girl is of her same age, and the mother is still quite young, 50 years old, a very dynamic, young, vital, happy lady. And my daughter says nothing could have been better than this choice she has made in Spain, and we treated for that. But we just, what we did is, we do. We really told Marjorie, put the cause in motion that your daughter has the perfect place in Spain, the perfect family, and let it go. And she has been doing that with whatever we have suggested. Whoever has been talking to her as a practitioner on the phone has been one-pointedly seen the result, and it was always accomplished. Now, this is just an example how much it is important to be self-disciplined, self-dedicated, self-determined, and self-diligent in whatever we are doing. And Marjorie, she has proven that in many areas, and we are very proud of her. On the other hand, we have sometimes students coming here, and they come for the first time. They have never been at the monastery, and we tell them whoever comes here should take first the course, so to know what the philosophy is all about, and just move smoothly into the program we have here on the campus. Now, we have seen recently some ladies, or one lady, I would say, she came and she had a great desire to heal her mind, to heal herself. And she came to the philosophy with a little bit skeptical, because she didn't know what it was all about. But once she was here, she was just fire and flame for everything. She practiced what we did. She was in school. She was an excellent student, following the program beautifully. And whatever she did, I can just see her. We gave her the task to clean the tiles in our swimmax. It was quite a big room. And first she looked at it, how should I do that? And then with all her joy and enthusiasm and dedication, she did a perfect job. And when she was done, she was so proud. She stood there and she said, well, isn't this wonderful? And it was a demanding job insofar it was taking her physical strength, because she had to scrub strongly. And she did wonderfully. Well, I have seen her during her 2 weeks here on the campus as a radiant sunshine. She was just a wonderful person to be with, and she started the course and she was flying high. Well, that's sometimes it's like this. When we are at school and we are so good, and then we might go home or we might go on vacation, we might think, oh, I'm so good, and leave behind that what we have learned, and leave it, let it go, and think, oh, now I can go on my own. Well, school never finishes. We are here on earth, and life is eternal schools. We are always practicing, we are always learning, we are always in school, because life is a school. So let's be like Monica's kids, the two young children from our student Monica in Basel, and like ourselves and be happy about everything what we are doing. And know that life is in school, and when we are going through life, just as happy kids and sing, life is wonderful, I can do it. Well, we are the master. And so it is.
On the road. Well, I have taken an article from the book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff at Work. And the title is, Create a Bridge Between Your Spirituality and Your Work. Mm-hmm. It is right. I say I am God, God I am, and I am the creator of everything, first of myself. And whatever happens to me, it is my creation. And at the same time, it is being my creation, I am also one as my creation. Whatever I see in my creation, I am. And so this helps me, this brings me to the point to become, to be really non-judgmentalist, not judging. Because if I judge, then I judge myself. And with this, I lose the way of the spirituality. But in the way in spirituality, I see everything as good and very good. So in the work, it is good that, first of all, I like myself. Liking myself makes it easy for me to like also everybody around me. First of all, I create harmonious beings around me. This cause I put in motion, and so it is. And to being harmonious with myself and my surrounding, it's very important, because whatever I put into motion, whatever I think, I experience. And I respect myself. Respect myself, and when I respect myself, I automatically am also generous, gentle, and fair with those who are my creation. Sometimes there, in the thinking and in doing things, there are big misunderstandings, but then at the end, is it because everybody wants that prevails their own idea or not? But then if we have here our dean who arrange everything then that it goes out in peace and harmony according to his wisdom. And this is wonderful. Always let prevail the wisdom from within. And again, liking myself and respecting myself in whatever I do, everything is wonderful. Oh, yes, it goes good. I looked here if I had pushed the button so that it records. So don't sweat the small stuff at work. Just look at the prop. Look at the big things. Look at what I like to achieve. Look what is in the big picture of what I am doing. And this is often misunderstood. But on the other hand, when I am free, when I am in harmony with myself, when I am balanced, everything what comes to me, I can consider in the same way. And being true to myself. It is very important, especially when I have to deal with workers or giving orders. There I must insist and stand firm in my truth, in my knowing who I am and in what I know is right, is correct and honest. Honest to myself is the most important thing. That when I give out a job and then have to pay for it, it is important that I know my values and things I have agreed are respected. Otherwise, I can be led astray in being manipulated and saying, well, being not standing up for my principle, and that is rather I prefer than to leave it, to leave not to doing it, but taking a different way, a different street. so that always my integrity stands firm in whatever I do, in whatever I undertake or give out as orders. And this is also very important. In being in harmony, this sounds very easy to do all these things. And I'm sure whenever I am in harmony, everything is easy and is wonderful. But the moment I have a different idea or think of two ways in doing it and leaving out the spirituality, then things appear very different. And not always, maybe then there are some little obstacles, but I know every obstacle is possible to remove and go around and solve it. There, everything is possible, and all for everything is a very perfect solution, as I am firm in myself and know my principles and know what's the right way and standing up for the truth. It is sometimes a truth. What is truth? When first of all, we have our in our language many words which all express something, but there is something also then we can say in a different way and or has a different meaning, and so sometimes comes a misunderstanding. Because every word has then various meanings, and whatever in that moment I say is a word, but not the person cannot understand what the meaning is or wanted to give as meaning with that word. What is the understanding? Well, also here in this way, also stick to the first thought. I think that is the best way. And being in harmony with myself and leaving away the small stuff, but looking at the main point and always knowing who I am. And when I really insist on this, who I am, everything turns out in the marvelous way. So it is the spirituality for me is a great bridge in living a harmonious life and doing a good job and being in harmony with myself and my world, and know that everything turns out in a fantastic way. And everybody is happy and at work as I am happy when I can do all the work I like to do, and without leaving out something which seems a little unimportant thing, or is not so, is maybe it is a low, classified as a low work. It doesn't matter. If I am always the same in whatever I do, if it is a low work, it is a high work, there I let prevail my spirituality in knowing that I am the creator. And whatever I do, if it is a low job or a higher job, I am it. I am the one who creates it and who puts it in perfect order. So always being myself and being in harmony with myself is for me today the greatest goal I am on the way to achieve. I love you.
On the road, I closed the door of the car and start the engine, and off I go. And instantly I have the feeling that I am in my own chapel, in my sanctuary, in a temple, and it feels very good. I am like, Heinz likes to call it an incubator. And I like to call it like a chapel, because the moment I close the door of the car and start driving, it's like being in introspection, it's like being in a different world. And as I drive along, it's very easy to glance around a little bit and look at the cars, look at the landscape that passes by, and feel inside of myself, and feel a contentment and a happiness. And then I start talking to myself, because I'm alone in there. I'm in my own chapel. I'm in my own house. And I talk and I say, hey, Sylvia, you know, I really feel happy, you know. And hey, I must say, I am the happiest woman in the universe.
I just feel this contentment from deep within myself. And you know, the funny thing is that I really feel it when I'm for a moment so alone in my own little chapel, because there's nothing distracting me from thinking and feeling within myself. And I feel it from very deep within, and I have even to smile at little things, you know, that happen days ago or just recently. And I feel, hey, they are important because they always tell me where I am, but somehow they don't leave and have that same impact on me anymore. I just can go on and live my life and say I am happy. And then again, on being on the road, like for example I was yesterday, it's not just being in my own chapel, in my own incubator, I also go and greet and have fun with my creation. And that always reminds me that I am the one that determines how everything turns out. You know, for example, when I go to AA, I have a good talk with them and I tell them, okay, here's the gist, and we expect it back in within a week this time, and so on, and I tell them the little things where they have to pay attention to, and then I sometimes think, I tell them and then it's up to them to do it. But that's actually not true. I tell them what I believe I can achieve through them. It's always my treatment that brings the gist in time or not in time. And sometimes it's so easy to forget that when you deal with so-called other people, you think it's then their responsibility to do what I tell them to do. But actually, I know very well that it is my responsibility. And I had some fun when I went to Bordeaux. You know, it was a very warm day yesterday in town. And so I chose to park the car under a shady tree, which I found just in front of May Company. And I walked over to Best Buy, that's right. So when I came back, I felt like going to the bathroom. Herb just gave me a note saying AA printers similar to AA Alcoholic Anonymous. So
you went to AA.
I went to AA printers.
That's right,
yeah. Okay, it's so important to be specific, that's true. AA printers, not AA Alcoholic Anonymous. Anyhow, I'm now parked in front of Makos and coming back from Best Buy, where I brought back the video. And I feel like going to the bathroom, and I know if I just go into that glass door, I can just go up the escalator and there's a beautiful bathroom. I did, and when I wanted to go down with the escalator, a guy was working on it, the mechanic. No escalator downstairs, so I was looking for the elevators. And you had to walk and walk and walk and through hallways and what have you. Finally, I stand in front of the elevator and two ladies are just ready to get in too. And I said, my, what a way to this elevator. And one of the ladies says, yes. And it's so far out. And she looked around and she said, and you know, you never know, it's so far out, there could be a spooky man or something, person standing here. And I just smiled and looked at her and I said, oh, you know where you are, never a spooky man could stand around because you have such happy vibrations and such a happy attitude about yourself. That could never happen to you, I said, because, you know, spooky guys and persons, they only are around people who have spooky vibrations. And they both just had to laugh. And the boogeyman, that's right. And So that was kind of a fun meeting too, in that spooky dark hallway of Mako.
Which is now enlightened.
Which is now illumined, enlightened by happy vibrations. Whoever passes there is healed instantly. There you go. And then I waited another fun encounter for me when I went to the to Vietnam ladies, our tailors.
Alterations.
Yes, I thought they were tailors though. Anyhow, we were talking about fabrics and she instantly showed me a nice beige fabric and she said, wouldn't Ellen like to have a costume out of this fabric? And I said, well, she didn't tell me anything about that. And then she told me that Herb would have his new suit in this fabric. And so she thought, surely Ellen would like to have the same style and the same thing. And I just had to laugh. And then she asked me, are you going too? And she, and I thought, maybe she wants to sell me one, a third one, so that we would all look the same. But anyhow, we had a good laugh. And then she said, you know, Ellen, your friend, she is a nice lady, you know. And then she said, you know, the more you talk with her, the more she becomes young from her inner, she said.
Wow.
Then just a beautiful awareness was really fun. And then I met another aspect of myself which I've never met, the aspect of pure abundance. She was working on a black jacket, and when I asked her, when can you be done with Ellen's blouse, she said, not too soon, because I want to do it right. And then she took that black jacket and she said, you know, I have that customer come in and she buys every day something and brings it to me for fixing it up. And she wants 50 sets of jacket and trousers and what have you. And she said, you know, and they're very expensive. And she laid it out there. It was just a plain jacket. There was not much fabric on it because it was a small. You could see that. And I casually touched the price tag. And I said, $1,075 just for a jacket. And 50 of them she buys, you know. $50,000 just like that, and then another $2,000 for having it changed.
Maybe that was Spanish money.
No, it was US dollars, and she said that's what she buys. Everything she buys is around $1,000. And, you know, I really had to take the price tag two or three times, and I said, I've never even seen in my life a price tag of a simple jacket of $1,000. And I thought to myself, actually that's abundance, you know, when you just without having a second thought can go and buy a jacket or even 10 jackets or 50 like her and they have a price tag of $1,075 or more on it. And you don't give it another thought. That's abundance. Abundance is when you don't have to think how you spend your money because it's just there. And that's what is pure abundance. And I mean, not just in the money sense, but it's in having that abundance of joy, in having that abundance of genius, the abundance of imagination, what have you. That's all the same thing. You don't have to think about what comes next, or do I have enough to make two stories, or do I have enough to write a book? Well, you just have and have and have. And that's what this price tag reminded me of, $1,075. Mm-hmm. For a little thing, a little simple jacket, you wouldn't believe it.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
no, you could see that. No.
Not being adjusted.
Yeah, and not really perfect.
And not being perfect. Well, yeah, the thing is, she said that the lady where she buys this thing, they would alter it for her free.
Oh.
You know? But she wants to give it to them. So you can see, it again, it didn't matter to her. She didn't need to have it done free.
No,
she could pay for it and bring it to somebody whom she trusted, whom she wanted to touch her things, anyhow, whatever. So that was for me a cause put in motion yesterday. That's the kind of abundance we have. Abundance in everything. We never have to give a second thought if we ever have enough of something, because it's all there, never ending, because that's who we are. God unlimited, source unlimited, abundance unlimited. On the road to abundance, we are abundance. And so it is.